Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Linda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Don't Be Pig-Headed. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him unto his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. For years, I mentored people in the faith. I've always taken joy in teaching others. Even before I was saved, I did teaching of various kinds. So mentoring kind of came naturally to me. But I learned that not everyone is teachable. Even people who say they want to learn, even people who say that they're listening to you, they're not all teachable. Take pigs, for instance. They're headstrong. They're always sticking their big noses where they don't belong. They never improve. They just keep snorting around in the pig pen, bent on finding that next snack and feeding themselves. Pigs only think about themselves. I have mentored a few people who remind me of those pigs. I would try to gently guide them into their callings, as was revealed to me by the Lord. I would try to guide them away from those things that would negatively affect what God wanted them to do. I would give them words from the Lord to encourage them. And also, I think almost every person or every person I've ever mentored, God gave me words of warning for them of one kind or another. When the Lord was trying to help them avoid pitfalls. And then they would go off and do whatever they wanted to do. However they wanted to do it. Don't be pig-headed. I don't want y'all to be like this, okay? It's kind of like mentoring somebody like that is like trying to potty train a toddler who's very stubborn. You teach them where to potty. You teach them how to potty. You teach them why to potty. And they still potty wherever they want to. It's kind of like cutting their proverbial nose off to spite their face. I never could figure out why people would say, oh, yes, you're my mentor, or I want you to be my mentor, and then they wouldn't listen to anything I said. I don't get that. When I had a mentor, I listened. And I always stop mentoring people as soon as I find out they are not doing what the Lord is having me give them. I'm done, because I won't waste time on something like that. There's too much work to be done. I have always loved the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, because I was a little bit of a prodigal myself. I was determined to go do my own thing. I was running from God. I just didn't know I was running from God. I was just running. And even though it was to my harm to refuse to listen to wisdom from those trying to guide me to a happier way of life. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Let me turn the speaker off. I've got a connection issue on my computer. I thought my way was better. I thought I knew everything, and it got me nowhere. I was pig-headed. The prodigal son wanted to go do his own thing too. He didn't want to wait for his father's legacy. He wanted to take his inheritance and go party on it. Maybe it was the controlling father. Maybe it was working on the farm every day. Maybe it was the pouty older brother. But he left home to go do his own thing, his own way. Who was it that sang that song back in the 40s or 50s? I did it my way. Was it Frank Sinatra or somebody that had a song, I did it my way? Anytime I think about something like this, I always think about that song. His father, loving his son, must have been so saddened that his son didn't care enough to stay and help build the family business, or to be around his dad, for that matter, to stay and be sure that his father was taken care of in his old age, that in spite of his good raising, his son cared only for the frivolous things in life. Because obviously his father was a hard worker. He would have had a legacy to pass to his sons otherwise. He had tried to raise him to have a longer viewpoint than that, to see a bigger picture. He had provided a legacy for him that he might have security long after his father was gone. And that son was basically saying, I want what you can give me, but I don't want you. Any parent knows that if you give a child too much, too soon, they will do the wrong thing with it. Because they're not sufficiently mature to know what to do with important things. And that's the entire reason we needed parents to guide us in the first place. But the prodigal son did not feel he needed any guidance. He felt like he knew everything himself, and he felt like his way was the best way, regardless of how many years of wisdom and experience his father and anybody else who knew him had. He felt like his own way would work just fine. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And right when he spent it all, here came a big famine. That would not be good. You know, there's a protection when you stay near the Father, when you stay near home base, when you listen to the people that He has placed in authority over you, that is a word for somebody. At home base, near the Father, somebody cares if you're hungry. They care if you have shelter. They care if you become ill. But when you're just another rebellious son in a far country, nobody knows you. You can end up in the pig pen because nobody cares. Nobody cares. You can end up in the pig pen starving and miserable because nobody cares. You have left your father's house where you were loved and cared for. And every one of us has at some time been in rebellion to our loving father. I know I have. Y'all know I have. Rebellion, like any other sin, will always take us someplace we don't want to be. It will always get us into a mess we didn't plan for or expect, and that we don't have the resources to get ourselves out of, usually. But then the prodigal remembered his father's words, and he repented. He longed again for the comfort and security of the home fires, of being cared for, of a loving father. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you and am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. You'll notice that when he repented, he didn't just say, wow, I wish I hadn't done that, and then stay there in that mess. No, true repentance always involves a change of direction. Realizing you're in the wrong place and continuing to go the wrong way is called stupidity, not repentance. So you'll have a reference point there. Repentance is saying, wow, I took a wrong turn somewhere. Let me turn around and go the right way. The best part of this story is how a gracious and loving father who had missed his son and worried over his well-being ran to meet him and welcome him back into the fold. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring here the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Of course, the pouty older brother was still the pouty older brother, but the prodigal was just glad to be home again. He had squandered his inheritance, so he came home a poorer man, but a wiser one. He had learned his father's way really was the best way, the only way for him. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:11 that wisdom is better than rubies. I'm going to read that to y'all if I can find it. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. In Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. People die in the pig pen, y'all, all the time. Every day, people die out in that pig pen. Pig pen's out there. If the prodigal son had stayed in the pig pen, he would have eventually died for lack of wisdom. If you turn two people loose in the woods with nothing, and one is wise and one is foolish, guess what? The wise one will survive, and the foolish one will die for lack of wisdom, for lack of knowledge. And so will we. If we turn from our Father's way, thinking our way is better, not having the foresight to realize there is more to life than the pleasures of right now, we will all die too. I used to live for the moment, just enjoy the next party, just enjoy life. And all it got me was a bad reputation and a lot of regrets, y'all. An interesting character in this story is the pouty older brother. I can't talk today. He thought he was doing everything his father's way, and he resented that the younger brother, who had not done everything his father's way, was being welcomed with open arms. He was jealous. Why wasn't he being punished for breaking the rules? What is there to celebrate about this grimy, skinny, stinky brother who came crawling back from the pig pen? How many of us have also looked down on someone mired in sin, who ran to our Father with a repentant heart? Have you ever felt that scornful gaze and the judgment of someone who acted a little more perfect than you when you tried to change directions? I have. That scornful gaze is exactly what keeps a lot of people from running to Jesus. It's what keeps a lot of people from darkening the doors of the church. It's what keeps a lot of people in the pig pen until they die there. It's not the devil keeping them there, out there. It's us. It's us in the church if we look down our nose at somebody. You better think about this. This is important. You know, I didn't plan to preach this, but you can participate in as many evangelizing programs as you want to. And you can pat yourself on the back. Let me tell you something. I live this. And if you don't welcome the worn down, weary, dirty sinners when they show up at your church, when they show up in your life, you'll have to answer to God for it. You will have to answer to God for it. If we do that, we're no better than the pouty older brother. We are the pouty older brother when we do that. We have to be like the loving Father and run and welcome them with open arms. And if we can't do that, we need to go back home and get with God until we can. Pride is far more detestable to the Lord than pig pen living and with wild women. And pride is what it is when you're looking down your nose and you're judging somebody. Oh, look at him. He's all filthy. He's this. He's that. She's this. She's that. What matters is they're trying to find Jesus, y'all. Proverbs 22:9 lists seven sins that are an abomination to God. A proud look is number one on the list. Number one. When you're acting like the pouty older brother, if I act like the pouty older brother, and I've got that look and I'm looking down my nose, that is the number one abomination on that list to God. And an abomination is something God detests, absolutely detests. And God will require an answer of the people who do that. And this includes any who are Christian who get back out into sin and they're trying to come back and get right with God. There is not a one of us who cannot be tempted to sin. Do you hear me? Not one of us is so perfect that Satan can't ever tempt us. And he knows every weakness every one of us has, and he wants us all dead. If he can't kill us, he wants to destroy our witness for Jesus. So he tempts people to go back out into sin so he can do just that. And then when they try to come back and get right with God, here's all the pouty older brothers in the church going, well, he did this or he did that or she did this or she did. You better not be doing that. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell y'all why. Do you think you're so high and mighty you can't be tempted? Because God will be happy to show you that you still can. In fact, he will allow you to be tempted to show you that you are not above that. If you do that, if you act like that, I promise you, he is obligated to do that because you call yourself by his name. I'm talking to somebody. The judgments are about to hit. They will likely hit the U.S. first, but they are going to affect every nation. Anything that happens to the U.S. does affect every nation anyway. But when they hit y'all, all the people who've been mired in the pig pens are going to go running to the nearest Christian and the nearest church. I am telling you, when 9-1-1 happened, that's going to be small on the scale of what's coming next. That's going to be very minute compared to what's coming next. The people that are left alive are going to run to the churches. They are going to run and throw their arms around you. Please, please tell me about Jesus. Tell me about God. Tell me about what you have. And they're going to be like I was. They're not going to know the questions to ask, but they're going to know that they need something they don't have because they're going to be scared. If you stand there and you look down your nose at these precious souls when they do that, then God help you, because He will arrange your circumstances so that it's you being looked down on, so you can understand what it feels like to be them. He is obligated to do that when you take that attitude. You won't enjoy it. He holds us responsible for how we treat His children, including the ones who haven't come to Him yet. The prodigal son did act unwisely. He was young. You know, when you're young, you think you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. You think nothing bad can ever happen to you. And you just go do whatever. You don't think about consequences much when you're young. The people who do are extremely smart. He was a mess when he ran back to his father. He was broke. He was starving. He was stinky. He was miserable. He had addiction problems. He had been out there drinking and chasing women. He had loose morals. And his older brother looked down his nose like, wow, where have you been? You know, why haven't you been here helping with the farm? You know, whatever. Instead of saying, oh, I'm so glad you're alive. Here I've been all this time doing everything right. But was he? No. There was no love and no compassion in him. There was only judgment. Only wrath. And those things are not from you. That attitude is not from God. God is mercy and judgment. Mercy on one hand, judgment on the other. For those who won't accept the mercy, they'll get the judgment. But that's for him to do, not us. Did you ever think about the gifts that the father gave to the prodigal son when he came back? He gave him a ring. Now back then, a ring wasn't just jewelry. It wasn't something to make your finger sparkle. A ring was a symbol of authority. They used rings as wax seals to seal documents. It was like, it'd be like having a stamp of somebody's signature where you could sign documents and contracts. That's what a ring was back then. That's what they used it for. He gave him a robe. Jacob also gave Joseph a robe of many colors to show his favor. Pharaoh gave Joseph a robe when he promoted him. A robe was a signal that that person was being honored, that they were loved. He gave him sandals. This was a sign that the prodigal son was no longer a servant, but a son, because servants did not wear sandals in those days. And he killed the fatted calf. He fed his son, who had just returned from a land of famine, and he fed him well. They didn't eat meat all the time back then, y'all, because they had no refrigeration. So if they killed an animal, they had to eat all the meat. I mean, they couldn't refrigerate. They could probably make jerky, but they couldn't refrigerate it, so it had to be pretty much consumed. He celebrated to show his joy that his son had come home safely. All the way there, the prodigal son was just hoping he could work as a servant for his father. He expected his father to be angry at him. But his father showed him he didn't want to give him a job. He wanted to give him a place. Ooh, that's a word for somebody. A position, a promotion. He was now a son again. You are now a son again. God wants to give you a place, not a job, but a place in his heart, a place. A place of honor and recognition and security. When the pouty older brother threw his tantrum, his father turned to him and said, you've always been with me. In other words, you have a relationship with me. I love you too. You've always had access to everything I have. One time, I was praying for somebody, and the Lord spoke to me and said, He is mine, and he has access to everything I have. And that shocked me, because this was a person who only had the tiniest amount of belief and no walk with God. And I was like, talk about grace. So if you have a relationship with God, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you have access to everything he has. Father wasn't concerned about the Pouty brothers' years of service. He was talking about relationship. The Lord is not looking at your service. And he doesn't want you looking at it either. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to talk to him every day. He wants you to spend time with him. He wants you to learn about him. Read his word and learn about him. Although the prodigal son had just returned from the pig pen, it was really the pouty older brother who was putting off the stench in that crowd. What I want you to take away from this message is being pig-headed and trying to do everything your way will land you in the pig pen. The Lord gives us people to guide us and mentor us for a reason, and it's to help us come out of and avoid the pig pen. If you're in pride, you're headed straight for the pig pen. The pouty older brother was probably the next person who showed up at the pig pen. Every person that I have mentored who kept doing things their way ended up back in the pig pen of sin. They ended up right back where they were and full of pride, a combination of both brothers, the sin on one hand, the pride on the other. That's the whole definition of pig-headed right there. The Lord does not want us looking down on and judging those who are running out of the pig pen, who walk into the churches stinking of sin. He wants us to love them, not judge them. It's his job to judge. It's our job to love. He wants us to embrace them and welcome them, and we will answer to him if we don't. That's our job. Y'all remember the scripture about removing the beam from your eye before you try to move it from someone else's? It's talking about judging people. It protects you from Satan's trap of trying to keep you looking at other people's sin so you never see yours and repent. That's an old trick. The only place we need to be fault-finding is in the mirror, y'all. We don't need to be looking at somebody else's sin. We just need to look in the mirror and look for our own. But I love what one preacher called that beam. Not the eye beam, but the eye beam, as in I, me, 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 I. And I love that, the eye beam. That's something easy to remember. I want to pray for y'all. Lord, I thank you for the integrity of your word. We love all the wisdom we get for living right from your word, Lord. Please examine our hearts, Lord God. And if there is any of the pouty older brother in us, we pray you would show it to us and help us to move back into right relationship with you. Help us to embrace those running out of the pig pen trying to find you, Lord. Let us make it our personal goal to greet and hug on and speak to every single visitor at our churches. Help us to be that warm, friendly face they look for when they come in. And help us to make them feel welcome so they'll come back every week so they can truly return to you or truly come to you. In Jesus' name. If you persist in doing what the Lord has told you not to do, he is obligated to chasten you. If you're into that, that's your business. But I will tell you, I've been chastened, and it is my least favorite thing. Years ago, I was praying for someone that was very, very highly anointed, who had great promise in ministry, who had ignored the words the Lord gave me for her, who had gone right back to the pig pen she came out of. And the Lord spoke to me something that I'll never forget. I was praying, it was months later, and I was still praying, hoping that, you know, God could fix her and she could come back. And he said, whenever a child refuses to come away from the fire, only the fire can teach them what they need to learn. Don't be one that needs to be taught by the fire. If you're pig-headed, if you're prideful and you have to do everything your way, even though God has given you people to guide you, then you're pig-headed and you're going to be taught by the fire because God can't get through to you any other way. I don't want that for y'all. I mean, if you want to be taught by the fire, that's your business. But it's not fun. That's all I have for y'all today. Thanks for watching. Jesus bless you. I hope y'all have a really great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Are there areas of your life you just can't seem to overcome in, no matter what you try? Are you plagued by depression, poverty, anger, lust, or failure? Do you recognize your predisposition to commit the same sins committed by your forefathers? Do you want a better life? Many people live their whole lives under generational and other types of curses without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Learn how to defeat every one of them through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You can break the curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. Read about different types of curses and how to break them, including anger, a curse that causes angry outbursts in constant anger. Barrenness, a curse that causes miscarriages and prevents pregnancies. Fear, a curse that brings a plague of fear and anxiety. Illegitimacy, a curse that causes lust, rebellion, and sexual dysfunction. Get the book, Loosed from Chains of Darkness, Destroying Curses Through the Power of the Cross. Available now on Amazon.com, in print and Kindle. Loosed from Chains of Darkness, and be free.